Sound like Sister Floyd. It's really something. Let's sing a little chorus together. I remember so well I sang that song, I sing because I'm happy. A lot of things that she went through with, she must have had something. For sure, you couldn't have been happy under some of the severe circumstances that she was surviving under. Sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. You know, we sing the love of God, and then we sing, I love Him. And I've often thought, you know, the Bible said, if you love me, that you will keep the commandments of God. And I see so many people that profess to love the Lord Jesus. And if you talk to them, they'll emphatically proclaim that they do love the Lord Jesus. And they'll even confess Him with their lips. But the Bible said their hearts are far from Him. With words and with their lips, they confess Christ. But their hearts are far from Him, because indeed they deny Him. In works, they deny Him. They don't do the things like Jesus. They don't love the things that Jesus did. They love the things of the world, and they care for the things of the world. And of course, the Bible says, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father isn't there. But you know, one day they're going to really wish they had loved Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus, I love Him. I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's sing it again. I love him. Oh, because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation. On Calvary's tree. Let's sing this little chorus. This is scriptures. We sing this, and this is for you, and this is for me, and this is real. Words of spirit, words of life, and when faith is mixed with it, it comes to be the answer to all of your problems. God has made the Word, and the Word is Christ, and Christ is the answer. So, I like the song we wrote, Christ is the answer. We sing this song. He was wounded for my transgressions, the chastisement of peace. My peace is upon His back, by whose stripe I'm healed. Let's sing it together. Come in. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. Surely He has borne all my sorrows.
forever, and by His stripes I am healed.
Can you sing it again?
He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. Surely He has borne all my sorrows forever, and by His stripes I,
once more together, sing.
Jesus was wounded for my transgression. And He was bruised for my iniquity. Surely He has borne all my sorrows forever, and by His stripes I am healed.
Seated, Jesus wounded for my transgressions. By stripes I'm healed. Now, we're glad to be here tonight. Glad to have you here. And we said we was going to talk a little more concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is found in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. And then with that, the revelation of Jesus Christ, with that, we've been tying some things in with the eighth chapter as to the sounding of the trumpets. And then we went to the tenth chapter in Revelation 10 and 7 and the days of the voice. When He begins to sound as to that last trumpeter, the seventh angel, of the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation, then the mystery of God should be finished as He has spoken unto His prophets. And then we go to Revelation 11:15, and when we get there, it says, and the last trumpet sounded. And then following that, it says, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, that He should reign forever and ever. Of His kingdom there shall be no end of the increase. So when we think about these, there's a lot of things that need to be said and a lot of things that are being said. As a matter of fact, I believe it was yesterday morning, we spent about 4 hours. I believe Chuck said it was somewhere around four and a half hours. Just a very few. They were there, and we brought about a sequence. By the grace of God, we brought about a sequence. And when I say we brought about a sequence, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't bring about a sequence. Because when you come to the sacred desk and you really start talking about the things of God, if you are a minister and you call for this purpose, then your mind begins to speak as Christ begins to speak with you, through you, and then all of a sudden you find yourself not you speaking, but Christ speaking from within you, and they're all taught of God. So we come to the house of God to hear God speak, not Brother Pike. And if you come to hear me speak, it would be the same as if I came to hear you speak. Then we all would be going down to Egypt for our help, and we'd be leaning on the arm of flesh, and we'd be cursed. The Bible said, cursed is the one or the man, the woman that goes down to Egypt for their help, or leans on the arm of flesh. So then, being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth. And according to our measure of Christ in us, He so speaks as to the edifying of the body. And Paul spoke in his time, saying, "The Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, getting past feeling, and in that they don't like to retain God in their knowledge, he will give them over to reprobate mind, to believe a lie and be damned. He'll send them strong delusions, and they'll do all kind of things. They'll be a sinful, adulterous generation. They'll be an abased type people. And they won't listen to anybody. They won't listen to anything. They'll be heady and high-minded as they want money, fame, popularity, even shooting at the moon and all these kind of things, you know, with their rockets. And in the latter times, in departing from the faith, they'll dishonor their bodies between one another, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in the lust one toward another, working that which is unseemingly, receiving within themselves a recompense of reward according to their wicked deeds. And sure enough, that's where we're at today. Whereas we said this will come to pass and they will legalize sodomy and then God would burn the world. And strangely enough, just about the time this is coming around with the new administration called the government, just about this time, whether coincidental or not, the third part of Gone with the Wind is fixing to go into progress. Whereas it was in Atlanta, Georgia, that all the burning was as to the picture Gone with the Wind. And they've had two parts of it and now third part. And we spoke about the government shifting around and shifting around into the Atlanta area and what would happen according to this. And with that, then Atlanta would be burned. We saw it in a vision burning. We spoke of it as to what it has to do with, as to the Stone Mountain or the Mountain of Stone. And there was one time so worthless it was traded off for a shotgun, and today so priceless. And we spoke of its significance, and that if it was known, it would be attached to all the world. And as I said, when Bill York, who was here, a very learned person from college, you couldn't just tell him, you had to show him those things, which is still corresponding with us. He's away now, but he's trying to serve the Lord over in the Tennessee area, still supporting this minister. But Bill went out to searching and he come up with a book called The Last Mistress. And in this, I believe it was in this book, I remember him bringing this book to me, but he searched it out and found that Stone Mountain, as we said before, is fastened to the mantle of the earth and goes into all the world. That even the gates of the Suez Canal, I believe it was the Suez Canal, is made out of that from Stone Mountain. Well, it has great significance, and I didn't want to get off on that subject tonight, but I just wanted to bring something about that we are in the latter days. The government has begun to shift, and then you remember how Atlanta, Georgia come up from just a little old hub city, and the airport has become, as the airfield, one of the biggest in the world, the crossroads of the world. And the statement has been made that you can't go to heaven or hell without crossing in Atlanta, Georgia. And that's some of the statements of the outsiders. And that's very symbolic because heaven and hell was decided at the crossing of Calvary. So it was very significant that somebody would say something like that. And then they built the, what do they call it? The house where they have the meetings, the big meetings. And anyway, it's the Congress building, the World Congress building. They built it and numbers of other things that we spoke of, and Atlanta, Georgia has become a great city. We said it would become one of the greatest cities in the world, if not the greatest. And, of course, it all came to pass. Well, I said all that to get back to the fact that the end of the world is here, and the thing called sodomy is on the rage, and sure enough, it's come to pass, it's come into view, and they have been in the process of legalizing this. I said that God would burn it the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've been over the eras of the Holy Land and back through that Sodom and Gomorrah where God got so upset that he sent his angels down to search it out. He himself came down to talk with Abraham, and that was for the reason that Lot was down there, and he wanted to save Lot because the Bible said Lot was a righteous man, vexed from day to day by their unrighteous deeds. So when he came down, he was so upset that he literally burned the city. He rained down fire from heaven and literally burned it. And now they've got him so upset, as I said here not too long ago, that he is ready now to burn humanity, a sinful, adulterous generation, and then added that as to the base thing to it. And now he is ready once again, the same yesterday, today, and forever, to rain down fire to heaven on their heads and burn them because they are trying their very best to prove their rights, which is one of the most absurd things that we've ever had in the world today. And now I understand, if the report's right, they're fixing to have a march of 1 million sodomites, or them that join in with them over in the areas of New York, maybe, or back up in there somewhere. And so they've never had a march like this, never before, that everything on this side or this side is to the highway or whatever it is in that area, that it's all of the buildings, all of those things as to apartments, whatever, they're all sold out. People giving their voice to that, the papers playing it up, giving direction to it. The world has gone corrupt. It is the basest sort, Paul said. They have set out to overthrow all decency, and like the locust that went down into Egypt, they are ready to consume everything that offers life. And God is really upset with it. And I said that because I wanted to express something tonight. Today, got a report today of some things, and in the past few weeks, we've got a report of some things. And phenomenal things has been taking place. The Bible said, as in heaven, so in the earth. And in heaven, the actuality of things take place is with the light that strikes the image, and the image casts a shadow in the earth. And David referred to this world as a valley, saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And beneath these clouds, there's two kinds, as we brought out in Revelation. And in these things, there are hot and cold clouds, dark and white clouds. And they come together. And when the hot and cold comes together, there's problems. There's war in heaven, which is symbolic of the thing of Revelation 12, where the devil himself is cast out of heaven. So when we come to this, then we know something is taking place. I'd like to say probably tonight, this is kind of off trail a little bit here off the major theme of our thought, but we're supposed to have a brother here from over in Lakeland, Florida, that come in the other day. He talked to me a little bit on the telephone, and he wanted to come up in here and see if he could blend in with the brotherhood. And it sounded like he's real concerned. He'd gotten hold of some of our literature and learned to love the ministry. So he may be here with us tonight. Brother Scott, I believe. Right here, I saw somebody come in. If that's Brother Scott, would you raise your hand? How many appreciate having this brother with us? Let's give him a hand. We welcome you, Brother Scott, to Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul, as we say so often, actively engaged in world evangelism, and we're doing it to the best of our ability. And we've been able to minister around the world, having the ministry in as much as every major language of the world, thereby, or maybe more, in subsidiary languages. And we're trying to do our little bit here while other people are trying to do their little bit, and truly, Bethlehem is the home of the soul. If there ever was a home of the soul in the earth, this is the home of the soul. We care for the soul, and we're trying to do something for the soul. And though you'll find people at Bethlehem are very carnal-minded, they don't even know anything about what I'm preaching, let alone as to what a home of the soul is. But you'll find here people that do love the Lord and that are very interested in things of God, because it is a crossroad where people come in and out from around the world. Well, anyway, we welcome you here and hope to have some fellowship with you. I'm sure you've had some fellowship with the brethren since you've been here. Well, let's get back to our thought now. If you're here and you've never been here before, we welcome you here. We want you to be here with us, and we're trying to do whatever we can. We invite you to be a part of it because, as Paul said, your faith is spoken of throughout the world as those that are laboring here. That's a very true statement, without exaggeration in the least. And it is growing bigger and more mightier all the time. I I want to mention something to you tonight that might be of interest. It may not. You might already know it. You might already know all about it, and maybe more than I do. I'm usually one that don't know too much about anything unless the Lord shows me. But the report came today that there is a scientist that has been speaking on TV, and he's been saying some things. And we had spoke to you about the world, how that it got tilted on its axis, what caused it to be tilted, where it came from, how it came about, and that it wasn't just the world tilted on its axis, but heaven is tilted on its axis, and that mankind is tilted on their axis. And of course, this is new to some of you, and some of you would be utterly amazed and say, well, that don't make no sense. I could never believe that. But like a man said today, we stopped to get some gasoline, and something was mentioned about the prediction that the science had made. He said, he just drawed back and laughed. He said, I'll believe that when I see it. But nevertheless, that or something similar to it, I saw it while we was in Israel not too long ago. It sounds phenomenal. That couldn't happen. And it struck that man as being something that was just absurd. But nevertheless, I had seen it. And it's true. It could happen. But anyway, this scientist said that beginning in May, which we're about 21st of April or somewhere along there, and beginning in May, which is right on us, that there was some things that would start working, and these things that would start working as to the conditions of the earth would be moving toward the greatest catastrophe that America has ever known, and that the ultimatum of these things would end in America dividing into three parts as to California, Florida, and then the remaining of the third part, the biggest, would be Georgia. That would seemingly be more stable than any of the other, from what I can sum up in my mind. And he said it would start in May, which is right here on us, and would not stop until the catastrophe was so great that it would reach, if I understood right, clear across and around the world. And that the result, the ends of that, and the results of these things that would happen, that the world would come back upright on its axis. Things that are now would go beneath the ocean, and the others that's beneath the ocean would come up. And that it would be a great calamity that would befall the whole world. Now, he said, beginning along in May, the weather conditions would get so bad, so out of sorts, until it would be like snow when the sun was shining, which is absurd as to natural reasoning. But we saw in Israel where it was sleeting, it was raining, it was snowing, and then the sun would be shining and it was raining. I'm talking just continually. And fierce storming. I told Betty, I said, I've never seen nothing like this in my whole life. Brother Ron Pasdan also was over there in it. He was caught in it because he remembers how that he had to go from Tel Aviv over to some place back in there to catch a plane or to do something. And it was terrible. So this man says that this thing will be setting in May. He said there will be an earthquake in California that will register 10 points on the Richter scale. And though some of them said that couldn't be, I understand that he made the statement, though you may not believe it, it will come to pass. And then I understand, whether true or false, and had a confirmation of it today, somebody said that's true, but they say that this particular science has never missed a prediction that he made. I do know that the report has come recently, that scientists are saying this about the world coming up right at the end of this 7 years that's coming up, at the end of the 2,000 year span. That's coming up. And with this, they are predicting the world to come upright. Now, I had made the statement years ago that this would come to pass and these things would happen at the end of the Gentile age, at the end of the 2,000 years, when it come around, there'd be a great calamity, and that whether the calendar would be off or whatever, according to the time that we've been giving as to these things happening of 93. It's moving right in there just exactly like that we had said. And sure enough, all of a sudden, the American government falls. Hope you don't mind me just talking to you for a little bit. Kind of like Jesus when he talked to him, sat down in the little boat there, shoved out. And Paul said, I'm a teacher and a preacher too. And sometimes you have to teach or just talk real slow, or people don't conceive of what you're saying. Even though we're supposed to give them warning, it's heed to what we heard, lest we let them slip, taking heed how we hear. But I'd said that these things would happen, and I'd never before in my life ever heard anybody say anything about it, though there might have been a lot of people that had been saying it. Never before. And then I watched, and then at the end time, we've always had at one way or another, one place or another, one time or another, that scientists would come along later, or the papers or whatever, and confirm what we had said. And it's just been a sequence of it. And now, all of a sudden, right here toward the end time, they said that half of the scientists, as to what they base that on, I don't know, but has agreed together that at the end of the 2,000 years, it's going to be a great calamity. And we said, as to the first world end in 2,000 years, as to the second world end in 2,000 years. And the Bible speaks of worlds in the plural, worlds without end. And the third world ending, 2,000 years, and it'd be a great calamity. And we spoke of it in a sequence as to saying there is a first power in God, there is a second power in God, there is a third power in God. And then the other night we brought this out in a sequence as to give enough understanding as to a formulated expression to where you could grasp it and kind of put things in line to where you would understand in the event that I speak of any certain thing and I'd say, well, that's in the first power, that you could run it through your mind and know exactly where to position that, and on and on. Well, it wasn't until the other day that we picked up at a certain place and went through as to that being a skeleton, as we would say, saying one power, second power, third power, as to a formula. Then we picked up to put a little sinew on it, as it is said, of the dry bones. And we went through a sequence of things that brought in a present-day truth as to things that are happening right now to bring it to view and to surface of the things that are taking place right now. To show the government, the shifting of the government, what is coming about, what has come about, why that it would shift, what caused that, how far back as we could see where the Lord started working some things in favor of that, and as to the target, where the government would shift to. And it is beautiful, it is fantastically beautiful when you hear it, if God has never spoken it to you. Or if you've heard it when he spoke it to you. As I said, when Jesus resurrected from the dead, walked on his way to Emmaus, beginning to open their eyes of understanding, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures? By the way, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we're taught of God, when God begins to speak, he will open the scriptures and revelate the scriptures, and your hearts will burn like fire on the inside if you are elect, because you will see it through the eyes of your understanding. If you're not elect, you will not see it, though you hear it, and it will stir you even to the hearing of it. But you won't conceive of it, and it won't burn like fire because you won't even understand it. You won't even have your understanding open. But the Bible said, with the eyes of understanding, we comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of the great, wonderful, miraculous of God, and this great, wonderful mind of God expressing itself. Well, this is where we're at, and we could go on and go on elaborating on this as to just the calendar dates, as to the scientific definitions and things that are coming together as a proof that we are in the end of the world. Now, I'll leave it to you and to your discretion as to whatever you think, whatever you want to do. That's your business as to the way you take this and the way you talk about it. But I'm telling you what I understand, and whether the science say it or don't say it, whether it comes to pass is what they're saying or don't come to pass, the Bible shows emphatically that we're at the end and that we wouldn't understand the signs of the time, or else we'd be hypocrites. And it definitely shows as to a calendar thing that the time has rolled around, that we are on the last year. before the last 7 years set in. Now, one thing that the brethren as a whole, sometimes the sisters don't seem to understand. They don't fully grasp sometimes what we're saying. But I said at the end of the 7 years, a great calamity, if this should be the tribulation coming in. If it isn't the tribulation, there will be a great calamity. And there's one thing for sure, that in that there's a great calamity at the ending of the 2,000 years, and such calamity as they predicted, should it come to pass, there's no way it could be anything but the end of the world. And with that, the end of the world, it is said concerning the vial, the last of the seven vials of the wrath of God, that when it was poured out in the air, and there was such a great earthquake, such as the world had never known, and that all of the cities of the nations crumbled to the ground. And it's very evident that if their calamity is coming, which at the end of 2,000 years it did at the first, at the end of 2,000 years it did at the second, and now we're rolling around to another 2,000 years, world ending, and I made the statement that if there's 7 years of tribulation, which there definitely is, then that means that that 7 years has to be crowded into the space or the confines of that last 2,000 years at the very end of it. And it can't be on the beyond 2,000 years or whatever. It has to be crowded into the last 2,000 years, or either the calendars are off some way as to this thing, because it will be, according to the calendar, it will come up there, because God only works 6 days with mankind. 6 days, and the Bible said with God a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day, Peter said. Whereas someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe that, and I don't see any Bible for that, as to a day being 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. Well, I do. It depends on the way you look at it. As I said to you the other night when we were speaking, and the other day when we were speaking to you, that when you consider the millennium, the Bible speaks of 1,000 years where Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne and the 12 apostolic leaders will sit upon the throne. And for 1,000 years, there will be peace in all the earth. And it says 1,000 years. And that in that time, it is to be the day of God's rest. It is the millennium as to the human application to that. And that will be God's rest. That will be the Sabbath day. That will be the seventh day of his rest. And if that's true, and it's 1,000 years, then it makes us to know that the other 6 days is 1,000 years per day. And that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. So if it should be that way, then when the 6,000 years is ended, God will be ready to cut down the vine that's brought forth the sour grapes. Or that is where he said to thrust in the sickle and cut down the vine. And it'll be gathered into the winepress of Almighty God. Or there they will trample the winepress without the city. And that Jesus died just outside of the city of Jerusalem. There at Golgotha on Calvary, it's very obvious that outside of the city, as to that valley where we went to and was looking at that valley that'll be filled with the blood, that is the wine press, because they say that more battles has been fought in that field that's called the breadbasket of the world. More battles have been fought there than any other place in the world, and that valley will run with blood. So he'll gather them into the valley, and then Jesus Christ, Revelation 19, will return on the white horse, and we that are the saints of God caught up in the rapture before the tribulation really gets set in, we'll come back after the tribulation on white horses in Revelation 19. So that is the trampling. That is the trampling of the wine press. And in the human realm of physics, or the world of human chemistry, it will be that the nations will be gathered to the valley. With the Battle of Armageddon, they will be gathered to the valley, and the grapes that he will gather will be human bodies. And it will be the blood of the grape, which is the human being, as he spills his blood to the horse's bridle. So I just thought we'd drop those few little things in as we go along. It's evident that the end of the world is here. And we had a lot of things to say tonight that would go into Revelation. But the last time or two I've been here, though we've got into some Revelation, I hadn't really felt to go that way. Though tonight, I would like to have come here and picked this thing up at a certain point and have gone through it. But I know that I can't do that here in the church because it would take at least 4 to 6 hours to do that. And I know them that come to hear this when we get off by ourselves like Jesus with a little group, we talk and 4 or 5 hours goes by and it goes right on by and nobody seems to hardly move. They don't realize it and I don't realize it because when you get caught up in the mind of Christ, it looks like time is nothing and it just goes past. And the thing just continual as the Lord speaks to where there's hardly a ripple in the waters, we say. So coming here, it isn't that way. Once in a great while, the anointing will be to where I might get in an hour or a little over an hour. And it has been a few times in the past where we went a good little bit. But ordinarily, we don't do that because churches, as I say so often, they're just routinists. They come, 45 minutes is about all the minister gets, or at an hour, that would be a good time. And then after that, the people, some of them grow weary. I can't always say the children, because like today, speaking to the children, I got into some revelation with the children today, and I began to speak to them. And I've told them at times, and speaking to them in school, I said, you know, the elders dying in the wilderness, the children going in. And of course, it really was like that today. I saw some things happening today. And it was really like that. And as I talked with them today, things that was taking place, it showed the children going over the Jordan. And you remember the opening of the front door, and you remember the children, the things that was said. And it just happened right down the line, 100%. Showed them, even in their natural, as things that happened symbolically, and showed them going right over the Jordan. And still, when we look back as the people as a whole, the elders would say, here in the church, and go to sleep as I saw in the vision, and they're just moving here and there and going around after the things of the world, and their interest is in the flesh, the natural thing. And they don't really have any time for God. They don't have any time to really sit and listen and really get into the things of God. But the end of all things is here. And the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, for thy adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And even up here when I come to talk, there's not an even flow like I would have to have. There is a very wonderful reverence. There is an interest. But as I was telling somebody, and this might be good that we pass it on to you, in bringing the sequence of thought, yesterday morning, as it was just a few sitting there, but I kept feeling an interference. There was an interference that kept coming from an individual, and though he was very absorbed in what we were saying, and he was absorbed in what we were saying, and he was listening very attentively. But it was as to a natural listening and as to a reflection of light. And the spirit still, the man's spirit still, wasn't seemingly synchronizing with the things of God. And I kept feeling this interruption because God is a spirit. He is the Father of spirits. And if I come here, I have to take all of your spirits under my control as I begin to speak by faith in the mind of Jesus Christ. And it's not me. I have to do that in the person of Christ. And my spirit has to get into the Christ spirit as to oneness with him and then go out, and all of your spirits have to synchronize with that because it is not the man speaking, but it's God. The flesh is dead, gone to Calvary. And it's not us living but Christ. And you're not to know anybody after the flesh, but after the spirit as to who is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And so they shall all be taught of God. Out of the mouth of sucklings and babes, God has perfected praise. So I was talking and I kept feeling this interference. So I said something. Even today in talking, for a good little while, I felt an interference and I had to say something to get things into control and get them into a sequence to where I wouldn't have a problem. So while I was talking, I was going along real well as the Spirit speaking. And then I kept feeling this, so I just stopped. I thought, Lord, I'm just going to have an interference here and have an interference here, and I'm just going to have to stop. So I stopped, and I told him, I said, folks, let me tell you something, and I'm saying this to you tonight now. I said, God is a spirit, like he told the woman at the well in the fourth chapter over the book of John. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for God seeketh such to worship him. And Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, and pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. So I explained that. I said, now, we know, remember, when Jesus was here, he spoke to them as a spiritual being to their natural bodies and minds and reproved them for their wrong, because it was God in his fullness in a human form. But his desire was to speak to their spirit. Preachers, when they preach around the world and here at Bethlehem, wherever, they are speaking to you, but they're speaking to your listening ears as to a natural word that is a printed form of the expression of God in a printed page. They are speaking to you from this natural book, as we say. And in that they're doing that, you're listening with natural ears. And the only thing you're getting is through the vibrations as to the disturbance of the atomic surrounding as the atomic particles or the little atoms. And even your body being a composition of that, it is as to the vibrations that your ear picks it up. This is supposed to go into your heart, change into a spiritual awakening as spirit and life, which is not disturbing of atomic particles as to vibrations in the natural, but it tunes you in with heaven, because it is the spiritual vibrations of God, even the quickening spirit, that penetrates through the natural means to go down into your heart, that you might absorb it down here. And your thinking then is in your heart, not in your head, as to the vibration of your five human senses. But he does use the five human senses as that which is relative to the natural to convey this to your spirit, which is in the heart. When it hits your heart, it revelates. And it's spirit and life, even as before it comes into the form of human expression. I said those things to try to get your thoughts here just a little. That means that God, in conveying himself to you, he does it through expression. When Jesus was here, the Bible said him being the very expressed image of God. That is to say, God, the invisible spirit, the light, expressed himself through the human person of Jesus, even as Stephen's when his face shined, even as Moses, even as Jesus when his whole body shined as he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. So we know that the wisdom of God is to word, spirit, and light. It projects itself as life into your mortal genes. It makes you healthy, strong, wise, makes you eternal. That transformating light, it is what brought all things into existence. All things, whether form, images, whatever, emanated from God, the great light, as to the spirit, to take on human form and to take on the forms in the earth, as to that which grows, that that satisfy the senses, as the human senses, whether appetite, sight, whatever it might be, for the sufficiency as to our survival in this world. That's what David called the valley of the shadow. Jesus taught him on those bases. But in this day, he is speaking the same as always, but he is doing it in a different manner as to the human form. When he resurrected from the dead, he appeared in another form. That is to say, if he come in the human form as unto death, delivered for our offenses, in the form of a servant to take on our body, sins, to take him to Calvary, to smite that, then we come up in the resurrection. He wasn't in that image at all, as to that beast image, as to the bastard child image or the serpent image of them that are upon their belly, because their belly craves the things of this world. All of their labor is for their belly. The serpent is on the belly because the belly craves it. See, and the first man, Adam, becoming the head of that serpent, as to the spirit of Lucifer, the reflector as to that lesser light or that light which is called a dark light getting into Adam, which means an understanding, but a vague understanding is that through the reflection. Getting into Adam, took control of it when he fell from the image of the Son of God as to the illumination of that figure of him to come, of which he was in the garden, falling back to the dust. He was on his belly. From the dust thou art to the dust thou shalt return, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, it was said to the serpent. And so then from there all the way to Calvary, a generation of vipers, a family tree of death. John laid the axe to the root of the tree, cut that family tree down all the way back to the garden. And the Christ lifted that image as in the form of a servant. Jesus has been made our sins that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Delivered for our offenses, raised him up, and there Christ, as to the fullness of God within Jesus, esteeming the body smitten of God, there he was. He was bruised, chastised, and that for our peace and our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, by whose stripes we're healed. So with that, when he came up in the new form as the quickening spirit, he was for our justification to show that death had passed away, and still Jesus lived. Corruption could not hold him. And I said all that, see, to say this, that now here we are in a new day. And I could go on with Revelation, these things. As the Spirit speaks, we've tied many hundreds of things to it, thousands of things. But as we come to the thought that we're trying to get over here, I said these things that the brother might hear. And I say them to you tonight. Christ is the head of the church. And being the head of the church, he is a spiritual head. And you have to be spiritual to have fellowship with him. And we are a spiritual Jew. We are a spiritual Israelite. And Paul, when he came into the revelation of the changes to the spiritual Jew, he said there is no such thing as a Jew in the natural. But he that is born of the Spirit is the true Jew. And that we are the true Israelite. In that in the natural there is no such thing as a Jew. There is an Israelite nation as from Jacob. And Jacob with 12 sons, being a type of Jesus and the 12 apostles, as to the spiritual Jacob, and the spiritual sons, as to the leaders of Jacob, as to the spiritual son Jesus, sitting on the throne, ruling, reigning as a king in righteousness, with the 12 sitting on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel in the time of the millennium. So when the church ages came, when they came to be at Pentecost, all of a sudden there had to be another body raised up. And this body was the body of Paul the Apostle. And he was ordained to suffering, as to saying, Paul, I will show you what great things ye shall suffer for my name's sake. And he was appointed unto suffering to show the sufferings of Jesus Christ in a human body, even as Jesus was raised up, to show the sufferings of God as to the grievance of mankind and been smitten by them, as to show that in his body to the Jews. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So in Paul, who became our overseer, Christ moved into him, and he got so great and so mighty in the mind of God in the revelation, till he just boldly spoke out to them of the council and the wise men and the Pharisees and the scribes of that day, the learned men, and said, they that seemed to be somewhat in counsel, they add nothing to me. Because he had received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Great is the mystery, he said. And people that were kings and rulers, judges, great people, they had such respect for Paul, having sat at the feet of Gamaliel, which was a great man of renown. They said, Paul, much learning has made you mad. And so with this, all of a sudden the Christ appeared. Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ in the life I now live. I live in the flesh by the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was Paul. It was Paul's ministry. It was the revelation that God had gave him to the Gentile church to get a bride, which meant to go get a spiritual people. And the spiritual Jew, as Jesus to the natural Jews, so he will return to the heavens with the nail prints. And as Christ, Paul it is at the beginning. And then at the end, it is Christ standing in the midst of the candlesticks. Which candlesticks are the churches that Paul established in his ministry, establishing nine. There were seven of them at the end of the church ages because it was seven messengers, as to like these seven candles you're looking at here, that was there at the throne, that when the door was open, even Peter opening that, looking beyond the veil, and the Lord saying, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven, a spiritual revelation, looking beyond that veil, Jesus said, I'm the door, and thus the veil was rent, and to Calvary it went, and the door was opened to the Gentiles and the Jews by Peter. And that door, I say again, was as to the prophecy that came to Daniel in the time of Babylon. 490 years is determined upon thy people, which means the Jewish people. It was Daniel's people, the Jews. So when 483 years of this had transpired or expired, then it came to Calvary, and it had reached Calvary, and it was prophesied that there would be an end of iniquity and sin made, which we can't go into all these things, are on tape, is what we've said before. When it got thus far, then all of a sudden there was a dividing asunder that 7 years should be taken from the 490 years that was determined upon the Jews for the end of the world, or no more time than that. Time being in the natural realm, in the worldly realm, there wasn't to be any more time. From the time of Daniel, almost 500 years before Calvary, it was said that that would be the end of the world in 490 years. And it was almost that much time from the time the prophecy came unto Calvary. So then it would be very puzzling as to what in the world he was talking about. There'd be no way to find an answer to it except it'd be revealed as it was revealed to me and as I saw it. Now, and as it's revealed to you. So the Spirit revealing all things to us. When it come to Calvary, then all of a sudden there was a dividing asunder, and 7 years was taken away from the 490 years, and the 7 years of an earthly perspective was preserved for near 2,000 years. And at the very end of it, even as we see 7 years coming up now, it was to come to that 7 years, and with that 7 years, it was to be the last earthly perspective of 490 years, and it all was upon the Jew, and 483 years of that come upon the Jew to Calvary, and the Jew went out of the presence of God, and the seven, it was divided from the 490, opened the church doors that Jesus had become in rending the veil into the temple, into us, making within himself twain body and spirit. Destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And finally, they knew that he was speaking of his body. So from that time, the seven taken from the 490 left 483. That was not an earthly perspective. What you're living in right now is not an earthly perspective. All are dwelling in heaven. All. And this is pathetic to people, to think that all are dwelling in heaven. I've said this a number of times to try to clear up the doubt in your mind as to the reasoning, the human reasoning. And when I said to you, I said, why is it a phenomenal thing to think that all people are in heaven, and that Jesus died to take away the sins of the world, and that is to say, the Lamb as to the blood for the sins of all the world, to give them a temporal grace for a period of almost 2,000 years so that the Gentiles would have the blessings of God to the extent of medical aid and all these other things that makes us a heaven. And that I explained to you that it was the second heaven. There's the first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. And that in this, which it take a lot to explain, and a lot of it has already been explained on almost 3,000 tapes that you have here. Now, in fragmental pieces, thousands and multiplied thousands of things have been explained to little groups around the world, and especially here at Bethlehem for over 20 years, 6 and 8 hours at the time, 3 hours. See with the continuality. So in this, great is the mystery. And when the seven was divided from the 490, leaving 483, it has been a heavenly perspective. And the grace of God is to the blood of Jesus has taken away the sins of mankind, that God might not destroy the natural body until he could come to the time of bringing the church out from among them in the world. And the only way he could do that, he said, come out from among them, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, I'll receive you, saith the Lord. So the only way he could do that was as the mind of God versus education as the old tree of knowledge, sending the ministry out there for the perfecting of their faith, which faith cometh by the hearing of the word. They went to search the sheep out, as to the lost house of Israel, spiritually speaking. And as they went out there among the people, and today they're going out there among the people, evangelizing the world, the gospel to every creature, to make some guilty, to give eternal life to the others that receive. So the grace of God is to the rain upon the tare and the wheat, the just and the unjust. It was out there, the healings, the blessing, the prosperity, all of these things, because of the blood of the Lamb, as to giving grace, and within a scope, taking in all the world within the radius of the scope and confines of this grace, so that God would not see their sins, looking at them through the blood, until the time of this grace, as to temporary grace, was taken away. During the spirit of time, they've not received the graces unto salvation. Neither have the Gentiles as a whole made a change to try to get right with God. During the time of this mercy, as this grace is the rain upon the just and the unjust. And now the sunshine as the day star is about to withdraw, as we would say, as it would be wintertime coming in. So because of that, they love the world. Having the love of the world and the love of the Father is not there. And the Bible teaches because they love the world, they won't come out of the world. And that is in the world is intellectual darkness, as to the confines of which they're in. Creatures of darkness, loving the darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, and won't come to the light lest they be reproved. Now, I want to get to a thought. In this, they're almost spent the days of their grace, for it is terminal. And the church, as we went to get them, they're coming out and coming out. All over the world, they've come out through evangelism. See, and they're just about out of that as to the transformating of their mind to the mind of Christ from the mind of the old tree of knowledge and the gullible desires of the world. Denying themselves, they've come out of that. They're coming together to form the body of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring the head back. When they complete this, then the spiritual era as to the heavenly era will be over, and immediately the last 7 years as to the natural earthly perspective will come back to the 483 as to the 7 to finish the 490 determined upon Daniel's people or the end of the world. Where scientists are saying coming up right and a new world coming in as to the millennium, the same world as to we're now living in, but the briars taken away. It's already taken away. The curse is already gone. Curses is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, according to the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy. This is the curse. Choose who you want to serve, the blessing and the curse. And he gives it enumerated, the things that were said as to the blessing and as to the curse. So it's gone for us as a spiritual Jew. And we are sealed on the inside with the Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of the redemption, as the redemption of the body. Though it's a purchase price as to the body, it's already paid by Jesus. But we have to transformate in mind, and we come to wit or comprehend that we are the same in our body as in our spirit in the sight of God as to the change. Well, we've commented on that many times on tape, so things we're saying is real fragmental now as concerning those things, because I can't take up the time with those things if I'm going to get to a thought that I feel like I need to express. So we know that when Daniel looked, he did not see the church ages. He didn't see this. He just saw what was determined upon his people, because that's all that the angel said. And when these church ages came, as to the dividing asunder of the 7 from the 490, it was the open door in heaven, looking beyond the veil, even Jesus, the doors, the sheep in and out, as to the sheepfold. And when that opened, as just like these candlesticks you see here before the sacred desk, from there came 7 beams of light. Those beams of light coming down from the throne where the Lord was as the angel of Revelation. It speaks of him with 1 foot on the land, 1 foot on the sea, his hands raised to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more, giving us something that's pictorial as to the Christ. The Christ angel that filleth all in all, as Paul, this great mighty angel, showing it even as he. See, and here Christ is head up to the throne. He is our head of the church. And his body is throughout the earth as to the membership, the height, the depth, the width, and the length. And it is throughout the earth as to coming together, the land and the sea. Well, seeing this, Paul caught up to the third heaven, being the capstone, being Christ, how this great, wonderful city was the capstone, and we being lively stones founded upon the foundations of the apostolic leaders that Jesus converted from being, as to say, Judaism, to spiritual things in Christ. And he himself also, thus, they were the foundation, and he was up here as the head, showing Paul. And then those that were in between was the lively stones of you and I, put together, built upon this foundation up to this wonderful capstone, even the Christ as to Jesus. Now, this is the thing that we're getting at, and I can't go into it about the pyramids of Egypt not being capstone, those kind of things, but we have it on tape somewhere as to fragmental pieces, knowing in part. You put these things together, let the Spirit put them together, and you go back in those tapes and you'll find out that this is also having to do with Babylon back there when the tribes were scattered, and Pentecost when they all came back together. Knowing this, Paul, his revelation to the Spirit of Paul, even as the Spirit of Moses was taken and put upon the people back there, severally dividing, Jesus resurrected from the dead and gave measures unto every person as they could receive. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Dealt the measure of faith. And according to your faith, so be it unto you. So Paul, being a wise master builder, even as Moses was on that day, symbolically speaking, then here is Christ. And Christ is building up the temple, the fallen down house of David, which was the temple of Solomon. David gathered those, all of the gold and silver and things to build this house, but a man of war, and relating back to the American time of the eagle, even his brother Branham. And then the next era coming in as to the millennium, or the dove age, and the people now getting ready as the peaceful age, whose warfare is not carnal but mighty through the casting down of strongholds and imagination, bringing every thought to obedience of Jesus Christ. Seeing then the dove age, the gentle people, and those that make war, drop their bums, and all these kind of things. See that age going out as the eagle age and the dove age of peace coming in, the spirit age. So we know then that all down through the church ages, he severally divided himself, that is to say Christ, into seven dimensional steps as to the projecting of what we said at Bethel, Jacob's ladder, the angel descending to and fro, and Jesus saying to Nathanael as to the same. You'll see angels to and fro. We got this on tape in more detail. So with this, he said, this is the very door to the house of God. Bethel, going back to Bethel, back to the vows, back to the promises, back to the commitments. Keep me till I return to my Father's house. So we know that down through the church ages, Christ severally divided himself. We just barely have to touch these things tonight to get them in line just a little bit for you. The seven seals on the back of the book. I wish we could elaborate on it. Maybe sometime we will. And then the opening of the seven seals. The seven seals sealed as to the sealing of the book in the 483. And not open during the time of the 2,000 years of the church ages, or thereabout. That is to say, except to the spiritual Jew and the spiritual understanding, but not to the world, it remains sealed. But are open in the last 7 years as to the Jewish people. Could explain that. It would be beautiful, but take a long time. So we know that this went on through the seven-dimensional projecting as to those candlesticks or church age messengers. This brings us down to the end of the church ages, and when it goes down is our government of today, of Our Lady gone in America, the church over, caught out. We see it in symbols. It's right here on us. See the child caught up as Mr. Bush, as the old legend of casting out the dragon, knowing what he did to communism in Russia, knowing what he did is putting his foot on the a dragon head of that thing of China and boycotting against him when they rose up against the youth like they did and run over them with their tanks, knowing what he did with Hussein, which was relative to that Russian thing, who had been supplying those things over there and them a threat to Israel and knowing his name being bush as the burning bush, knowing that the rod that was in the picture, the movie that was made, that Brother Branham spoke of, that it had to do with Moses, and the rod of the Hester man, Charles Hester Weathers, whatever his name was, he brought this to Reagan. And we've got that in detail as to some somewhere. And the other day in covering the sequence of this, we went through this to show what that was all about and brought out numbers of things on the spiritual side concerning the man that came as William Branham and the other things that's taking place in a great way. Where's Brother Chuck Kissel after hearing it saying, this is so broad, this is so, you know, as to great and so broad. And all of these things happening is to Mr. Bush, the Star War and whatever. And then Mr. Clinton showing the casting out. So it brings us to the abase, as to the corruption, as to the burning of the world, as to the Sodom and Gomorrah, as to the march. Right here at the end, and sure enough, science is talking about the calamity of the world, even the calamity of America, of dividing into three parts, and that setting in within May, as this being the last year, 93, before 7 years, starts setting in, which could very easily be the tribulation period. So, we know that something's going on. I could go on and on, but I'm going to say just a few things here, and I'm going to close. I made the statement concerning these things over in the evening to a few people just before we come up here. This is why that we got the turmoil that we've got right now with the government. Mr. Clinton is responsible for that mass murder. That's the killing of those people down there in Waco, Texas, and there's a lot of people that are upset about it. Now, we have to do a lot of commenting there, but he has let them know that he's responsible for it. On TV, he said, I believe that I accept the responsibility, and it shows the foolishness of what's taking place, and that he ordained that attorney, that is her name, Janet. Anyway, whatever it is, I don't know, Brother Taylor says Janet, but this shows the foolishness of what's happening. Her giving the command to go down there and then mass murder, which goes back to Mr. Clinton. And the lawyers upset down there. There's a lot of people down there. They said there's going to be a lot of lawyers down there. And I made the statement. I said it's going to end in a bad situation as wanting to sue Texas and the people and all these things. And the government people are now calling them murderers and everything else because they're upset. Because there's a lot of parents, a lot of relatives, and a lot of things going on. And the man just said within a few days that he was going to surrender. Now, I know there was some evil, filthy things going on in there, and we could relate them to you as to what our knowledge is of it, and that it was the judgments of God as to those things coming to pass. But we also know that as to the abaseness of the things that are happening in the government today and relating back as to even the Mormons and the polygamy as to those things and the man did that started that operation and the general public today as the intermingling of an adulterous generation that they didn't have any reason for what they did. And the aggression. And we also know that they had Bible for that as to King David and Solomon having all those wives. See, and they allowed the Mormons to do that. So that wouldn't give them any reason to do what they did. Even though that's wrong and God will burn them with fire for it. Whereas he did that down there. But I'm speaking of it from a natural level as to our government, as to the aggression, as to the problems, as to the impouncing on the churches, or anything that has a religious appearance as to try to bring Christ in. Satan, as to the carnal mind, is trying to stamp it out. Even as what Mr. Clinton said about bringing all these little operations, the some even bigger like Falwell's and whatever, Old Roberts, and bringing these all in under the constraint of the government that there be no private schools and whatever. To kill out that little child is that abortion thing right here while the church is heavy with child. It's time for them to bring forth the image of Christ trying to kill it out as it was in the days of Herod. So we had spoke of all of these things, of how it would come to pass in the government. Today was relating some of them. And I spoke to my wife today and how that it had to do with the white man and the black man. And how it had to do with the yellow man. And we brought it in as to these things and the red man. I wish we had a lot of times to talk to you about it. But we said in that time, it will show the gross darkness coming in as the black man comes to power. Because he follows two types. There's good black men and bad black men. And there's good white men and bad white men. And I made the statement as to the bad blacks. I said, there ain't going to be no satisfaction whatsoever. I don't care what they do to that about that thing where these policemen apparently deserving to be punished if you're going by rules of law and what they did, even having them. I said, I don't care what you do. The blacks are still going to rally. They're going to be upset. I don't care which way you go because it don't have nothing to do with that. It is the power of the devil rising up to try to stamp out white power. And I said, and when it comes to these, where the blacks jerked them out of the truck, I said, they're not going to be satisfied if they come down on them to put them in prison. And they've already made the statement. They're going to rally against them if they do, that they feel like it's a different situation. So they're justifying it. Now, so that proves what I said. And as I was telling someone today, we was talking, I said, first of all, I said, it is a matter not of people's rights. Folks, if it was a matter of people's rights, I'd be 100% behind it. But that's a joke. People's right, there ain't no such thing. I've told you over and over. The blacks are not pulling for people's rights. Neither is the white pulling for people's rights. The white is pulling for white power to rule the world. And I can prove this by the Bible. And the blacks are pulling for black power to rule the world. And the contest is between black power and white power. And it's demon spirits. See, someone would say, well, who do you think is right? There's neither one of them right. Well, what do you think about it? It's of the devil. And what do you think about those people? Except for the innocent that's caught in there and the people that love God, they are devils, walking devils, black and white alike. All of them are walking devils. And they're going to bash each other's brains out. They'll never be satisfied. There's no honor among thieves. And they don't care for one another, though they go through all of these things as to caring for one another. They're only using one another. And like someone asked me today, well, which one do you think's right? I said, neither one. I said, both of them's wrong. And I said, both of them's after their own thing. And the four powers that was wrestling over the four winds and the four powers that was rising over the waters, people being symbolic, it goes back as to show the red man, the white man, the yellow man, and the black man. But anyway, with this, then they asked me the question. They said, well, who then is right? What is right? What is the right government if these two aren't right and they're using each other? I said, it is not as to a black man and a white man, it's to a contest. I said, it is black power and white power. I said, and what it shows is light and darkness, and they're fighting one with another. I said, allegorically, it shows it. I said, in there, the white must yield to the extent that the black is going to rise. And as I told you, it's the worst thing that ever happened to the black man. It shows darkness and tribulation. And when the white goes out, it shows that since this has been a white man's nation to that extent, that it shows the church light going out. And you can't mix darkness with light. There's no way you can do it. It won't work. You can make all the plans you want to, but it won't work. If I had time to go through this in detail tonight, I could show you that. So then the question arises, if both of them is wrong, and if both, as that's of the devil, and it's only symbolic as to the human beings and has nothing to do with human beings or human rights, then what is right? It's not black power. It's not white power. The wrestling. It is God power. And God power, someone would say, well, who should rule, the black man or the white man? Neither one. Who should rule then? What do you believe, Brother Pike? You must be pulling for something. I'm only declaring what God has said. I'm on God's side. Amen. And when I say this, it is not the black man or the white man or the red man or the yellow man as to all these powers is going to rise and has always done this down through the years to take over, even as when the yellow man tried to bomb Pearl Harbor. It's always been that way. See, but there is one people that's supposed to rule the earth, and that is the church. Even the Jews will only be in power under the jurisdiction of the church during the millennium. And then that will be done away with, and the celestial will come in. And the world is not waiting for black power and white power. It is waiting for the sons of God And the government is upon their shoulders, and they're to rule with a rod of iron and break the nations like pottery. And they're to break all of their traditions, break all of their government, and bring it to an eye to eye, seeing eye to eye. And when these sons of God rise up, they're going to control the whole earth. And then they're going to bring in the millennium, and the curse is going to be gone. And all of the people, whether black or red or white or yellow or what, is going to be under the control of the sons of God. And nobody is going to have any say in anything. Now, when you come to people's rights, you say, well, I believe that they want the people's rights, whether white or black. They do. They want the people to have their rights. But they want them to have their rights with them as the boycotting power of control. And they want them to do exactly what they want done as to their rights. And as long as they do what they want done, they'll let them have their rights. And it's the same way as if you go on a job and you hire out to an employer, they say you can do whatever you want to as long as you do what we tell you. This is a job. See, or you don't get any pay, you don't have any job. See, and it's the same way with this thing, because it is satanic. It is Satan. All the world is taken into captivity at the will of Satan, except the sons of God. So then that means that when we come together as sons of God, it is a constitution of the yellow man, the red man, the white man, and the black man. All of them. And when they come together, they are sons of God. And there's no such thing as knowing each other after the flesh. They take on the mind of Christ 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, as children or as the feminine or as to the masculine. And in this, when they come together, it will be the right government. It'll be no respect of person. It'll be liberty and justice for all. Christ Jesus will be the supremacy at the head of it. And Christ is in their hearts. And they'll all, he said, when I bring Zion again, they'll all see eye to eye. They'll speak the same thing. It'll be a wonderful, perfect brotherhood. It'll be a perfect government. And the Bible said all of the earth will break forth in singing, and nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, not even the animals. The devil won't even be able to get to them. Christ will destroy all the governments and their armies in the valley of blood, and then a king shall rule and reign in righteousness. He'll destroy all the governments so there won't be anything to oppose his government when it comes into the millennium. So then this is the right way. This is the only way. I challenge anybody in the world to shoot one hole in what I'm saying. Prove it to be wrong. There is no such thing. There'll never be no such thing, because this is the one and only right way. And this is the way it's got to be, folks. And they'll never come together any other way, because they're thieves and robbers, have been filled with the devil. And Jesus said it's a thief and a robber. And there's no honor among thieves. And said they'll make all kind of agreements as to international agreements at the tables around the world. And it won't stand. They'll break those. So this is where we're at. And if I go white power and you go black power and he goes yellow power and he goes red power, whether it's Indians or Japanese, whatever it might be, then we're going to be a thorn in God's flesh. We're going to be carnal mind, has to enmity with God. That's death, and God will destroy us. But if we counsel out and stop this hypocritical thing of trying to hide behind the church, saying that we're one thing when we know that our life and heart and desire is in another, if we'll stop that, we'll be all right. If we don't, God will burn us with fire. But when we come together in spirit, then everything's going to be all right. And this brings us to the closing thoughts. I said down there among those brethren, I said, this is the end, Paul, down through the church ages. At the end, the revelation has to come back. It has to be revealed. It's the sevenfold light. And with this sevenfold light, it will take the church away. Light meaning understanding. And now we're coming into it. And in coming into it, I said it is the mind of Christ returning to spiritual Israel to pick up the members, and you can't get it in your intellect. If you do, it's a reflector. You'll go out in darkness when it's lifted as to this grace, this dispensational grace. But the grace that has appeared unto all men, denying worldly lust and ungodliness, living soberly, righteously in this present world, is the grace unto salvation, which causes you to be born again. Receive the Christ Spirit. If you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. So it's evident that when you hear this as to the Christ returning now, to get that as to the man on the inside, Peter said, the man of this tabernacle, the inner man, to get it, then you've got to get it spiritually. Your spirit has got to submit. And if it's 30-fold, 100-fold, whatever it might be, that's all you're going to get out of it. And when that spirit submits, it's got to submit completely to Christ's spirit and to the mind of Christ as to the bride, Paul, the revelation. Christ, not him living. And with that, as your spirit submits to this and comes into this and is translated into the spirit of Christ as to being translated into the kingdom of God, the law and the prophets and little John since that time. Men have pressed their way into the kingdom since that time. When you come to that, you're all right. If you don't come to that, you're wasting your time. You just come and reflect on these things so that the judgment will be greater upon you, because to whom much is given, much is required. And when Jesus comes back in that body, when this is finished, as to a diplomacy of the transformation of the mind, the child forming on the inside, the opening of the lips, and then the child caught up. Then when the Jews come in, it'll be because Jesus comes as to the heavens roll back the scroll. He'll be returning to the Jews to show them the nail prints. And just as that happened, which it looks like that this year is moving around toward the end of it, just like that, the church is gone. That quick, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, it's gone. The chains and them that are left here for tribulation. And I'm going to say this as to this little thing concerning tribulation. We say, well, we'll just stay and go through the tribulation. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't have any idea. It's all moving around to the German mark. We got these teachings on tape that when that mark is that money which has already been chosen, we said it would happen that way. And that the mark would come through the social security number. Everything's already moved into that since we said that a number of years ago. Also the numerical order. So when that German mark comes in, you can't buy or sell. As to the common market, everything is going to go to the common market. As from around the world, and they'll buy from the common market. As to put whatever in America, whatever in Germany, and they're going to set it to where you can't get it without the German mark. The other money is going to be without value. I said that the economy of Japan would fall, though they're great, and they've taken the government, money being government, they've already taken away from America and over into Japan. I said, and then their economy would fall, and I just got the report, said that their economy is in bad shape. And it'll go under the German mark. So will Israel go under the German mark, because Germany already makes part of their money. And I've said these things real fast, hurriedly, just to get over a few fragmental thoughts and still kept you longer than I usually do. So that's where we're at, folks. The end of the world is here. If you try to go through the tribulation, you don't know what you're talking about. The sorrow, the heartache, the fears, the frustration, the punishment that will be imposed upon you if you don't yield to Antichrist. There is no words of expression. No words. And then when you do, you go to hell. There's no way to ever escape. So think. Because it's like a man that goes to prison. You know, he's haughty, he's contrary, he's got the answer. You can't tell him nothing. He'll go on as a fool till the dart strikes through the liver. Want a wise man, he'll deliver himself. He'll love you the more as you rebuke him. He'll become wiser. Rebuke a fool, he'll go right on to try to prove his point until he drops off in the flames of hell, and he'll hate you, he'll blast you, and you'll get yourself a blot. So listen as wise people and realize that the end of the world is here, because as to that man, once the law gets him and locks him up behind the bars, he's like a bird in a cage then. You can be locked up for the things of God. You can be locked up just for your foolishness. And then you wish and wish and wish. But the Bible said, agree with thine adversary quickly while you're in the way, lest any time he deliver thee to the prison. As to the judge to the jailer, and the jailer to the prison. And you don't get out till you pay the uttermost farthing. So he'll deliver you to the prison. You've got to stay there until you serve your time. No way to get out. All right, let's stand together. I appreciate your kindness tonight, and your devoted attention. I appreciate it. I always do. I hope we've said some little something tonight to open your eyes. We speak very boldly and speak without respect to person, because we are a voice for Christ Jesus. Some don't like us. Some resent us. Some do whatever. But I told a group of people today, I said, if I speak this or God speaks this to you and you know about it, I said, when you get out there, you're going to have to speak it too. You're going to have to be wise and not speak to fools, lest you speak and throw your pearls before swines and they'll trample you under their feet and rend you. You can't just go out there doing that. You've got to be wise as to your approach. But you've got to speak these things. You've got to tell these things. You've got to stand for these things. And you can't be like a chameleon. When you get with your group, and you just talk what you want to talk, and you say what you want to say, and then you disagree with them, and you just move off, you know, so that you can have their attention and let them know that you're part of them. You can't do that. If you do, then you are a devil. and you are a devil in the human body, and you are in hypocrisy, and God will burn you. And if you are not, if you are a child of God, then you will speak for Christ, be a voice for Christ, and speak for the kingdom of God and the power of God and the government of God, and gradually help bring in a government with liberty and justice for all, where there won't be any discrimination and won't be any of this foolishness as to all these things of dividing secularly and asunder because of something that God Almighty has made. I know of fools, I've met them, but there's hardly any fool that's a greater fool than to come to partiality and dividing, or to hypocrisy and of shrewd cunning things as being a devil to dwell among God's people and to try to cut them down as Judas did, or to try to sidetrack them or indoctrinate them with the wrong thing. And when you get out there, it's the same way. When you are secular and that according to color, then you are a fool, because that is something that God has made. He made the yellow man and the black man and the red man and the white man. And for you to take something in your mind to be secular, you must be slapped out of your human reasoning or out of God's reasoning. That is one of the craziest things that I have ever heard of. I want to pray over this bottle of oil and ask God to bless it. As I've said, if he could make the ground wherein Moses stood holy, then he can make the oil holy that comes out of the ground. It's a symbol of the oil of gladness of the Spirit anyway. They bring these up here for us to pray over. And as I say, I so say again that from the body of Paul went out aprons and handkerchiefs and whatever. And special miracles was wrought by those things that Paul wore, because he was such a holy man, walking with God and praying, standing up in prayer and suffering as to the life of Christ. So let's pray. It inspires people. You know, people really look at you. It's like our banker that we've dealt with for a number of years, he sent word to us. He said, by my daughter, he said, tell Brother Pike to pray for me. He said, I've got to have an operation as to the nostrils and up in the head here somewhere. And he's really been in misery. And said, I know that if he'll pray for me, that God will hear and he'll heal me. And sure enough, she delayed the messages getting it to me. But today, she got it to me, and I prayed today. And sure enough, I felt God well satisfied as to what the man has done in the natural toward the work of helping, and that he would do something about it. So here, let's pray over this and ask God to do something about it. Can we do that? Just stretch your hands out here toward me, and let's love the Lord. We are one brotherhood, one brotherhood. We are Zion. We see eye to eye, and that eye to eye is that our King is Jesus. Our government is the Word of God. It's upon the shoulders of the sons of God. And the whole world is waiting for us to get it out of the turmoil, because the innocent and the beloved is caught within this radius and confines of devils fighting for the preeminence and for personal gain as to the natural things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the world and the lust thereof passeth away. So Satan that saveth the things of the flesh, let's root him out. And let the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ, that he might reign forever and ever with liberty and justice for all. Precious, wonderful God, we thank you for your blessings. Know that you've created all of us and that you love us all alike. In thee there's neither male nor female as to your love. There's neither black nor white nor yellow nor red. And you alone that have made us and loved us with an everlasting love. Heavenly Father, receiving the nails in your hand as a way of remembrance to never forget us. Then, dear God, we know that if you rule and reign on the throne and that you have made us thus, then you'll love us thus. And you gave your blood without respect to person. Forgive us our sins, Heavenly Father, and let the abundance of your glory come down upon us to break the yoke. Let us not be in the flesh. Let us not think in the flesh. Let us not reason in the flesh, lest we be secular, lest we be selfish. Father, lest we cut ourselves off from the inspiration of the great Spirit of God and cut ourselves off from the Spirit speaking to us as to give us the real truth and knowledge, because we know that if we become secular, you will not speak to us, because that's iniquity. And Father, we'll wind up without any understanding king like Ahithophel to go out and hang ourselves, oh Lord, or to die a horrible death, because you'll turn all of the knowledge into foolishness. Therefore, we welcome you and we love you and we entreat light and we love truth, that we might not be turned over to a reprobate mind. Unite us together in a mighty army of God and a mighty understanding of God and a mighty strength of God, that we might stand as one people separated from the world, as an individual people with true government, love, Lord, with liberty and justice for all. Heavenly Father, bless this oil as to whom it goes. Father, bless them. And wherever the oil goes, bless it as to an inspiration that when this oil is placed upon their body, they'll look back in confidence that there are saints of God that are praying for them. And let the yoke be broken. Satan, I adjure thee in the name of the Jesus that I love and that I know. And the Lord himself rebuke thee, Satan, that you should take your hands off of the body of these people tonight, off of the body of the saints of God around the world tonight, and the body of them that are believers yet to come. And oh God, tonight we pray in Jesus' name that you touch them. And Satan, you move your hands, because that is the body of the Lord Jesus, and you have no right to it. You are a trespasser. I adjure thee by Christ to withdraw. Father, heal these bodies, save these bodies, give them the great understanding of God as to one great union in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to set this right out here. We're going to sing a little chorus or two, and then we're going to let you go. Let's sing together. Sweep over my soul. Can you sing with me? Sweep over my soul, precious Spirit. Sweep over my soul, pour my rest, it is complete, while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Let's sing it together. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I sing evermore. Sing that with me, or sing this with me. I need thee, Lord. I need thee every hour. I need. I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. So don't. The altars are open. If you'd like to come to the altar, you're welcome to come. Search your hearts as we sing. Don't turn him away, for he has come back to your hearts once again. So let Jesus in to stay for just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and don't turn. Thank you.
And I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found you as the lilies there blooming by the way. So I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew everything's alright. And I thank you for the valleys that I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. For the valleys that I walk today. Sing that with me. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank for the valleys that I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything's alright. And I thank you for the valleys that I walk in. Let's lift our hands up together. Worship the Lord. Examine yourselves. See if you're in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. It shall come to pass that in the latter times many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So then, faith by the hearing of the word. Let's stay with the word. There'll be a famine for the hearing of the word in the last day. Let's just lift our hands up and let's sing this little chorus together. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb. Sinners slain. Let us give glory, all ye people. For his blood has washed the way every sin. One more time now. Will praise my Lord. I will praise my Lord. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him. Blood has washed the way every stone. One more time together now.
So I.
Let's praise the Lord tonight. And let's love the Lord tonight. Ask Brother Richard the Jew to come and dismiss us. While Richard is coming to dismiss us, I want to say again that we love you, appreciate you, thank you for coming, and we trust that you'll continue to come back. Be faithful unto the end. Don't cast away your faith, which hath great recompense of reward.
So then, as we sing this
one more time together, my brother's coming. When you pray, pray for me and my loved ones.
And I will praise Him.